something for the weekend on Saturday. How are you? It's Trina Mari here, and I have an old pal on the line today. I love when this happens. It always happens. You come across people throughout their life, next thing they pop up on the show. So Georgie Crawford is here from the Good Glow podcast, and really it is one of Ireland's most popular podcasts. Something like, is it 6.4 million downloads now, Georgie, we're at?
Oh yeah, we're on our way to, yeah, that. It's amazing. You know, it's going really well and better than I could have ever expected, really. Yeah. But it's such a joy in my life, you know, and it brings so much positivity and learning. So it's absolutely incredible. It's been such a gift.
Yeah, yeah. So for anybody who doesn't know about this podcast, number one, you need to start listening to it because it's fantastic. But also, can you tell people, you know, the background of how you came to start the Good Glow podcast?
Yeah, so I worked in radio for 10 years, Trina. That's how we know each other. Yep. We worked alongside each other for years and years. And I loved radio so much. It was really who I was. I went off to have my baby in 2017. Unfortunately, during my maternity leave, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So I went on that journey with the chemotherapy, you know, the surgeries, I lost my hair, just went on this really, really tough journey. And really through that time, you know, around 2018, I really sat with myself for the first time ever and decided to get to know who I really was. So after treatment, I went back to working in radio and I was reading the news every morning, and I just felt like a different person, you know, and I'd been hearing from all of these people from around the world who had survived things because I decided to share my story on Instagram. So I was hearing all of these amazing stories every single day, and I was like, what can I do to spread this positivity or plant a seed of hope with people? So I decided to start the Good Glow podcast. And I never thought it would be what it is today, but thankfully, you know, it really took off and I've never looked back. And I did have to choose in the end between podcasting and radio. And I said to all my pals in radio, you know, you never know, I could be back in a few years, but right now, this is what I want to do. And yeah. I've been doing it for 3 years now.
Wow. Well, you're kind of back in a different vein. You're just coming on all our radio shows instead as a guest instead of as the host. So you're still kind of in there. But it must have been quite life-changing then to, I mean, I think you were, I don't know, I think you might have been even pregnant around the same time I was, or it was pretty soon. And when you were on your maternity leave, to get that news, I know your baby was very, very young. It must have just given you the fear of God, you know, that, hang on a second, what if I don't survive this? That it changes your perspective on life completely.
Absolutely, Trina. And you know, when you're setting out on this adventure of having a baby, you never think that this is what's going to be waiting for you. Mm. And just like you said, you know, the fear of God, I was devastated. Like, it just felt so cruel at that time in my life. And I couldn't understand why this was happening. And obviously, I was so well taken care of by the amazing doctors out in Beaumont Hospital. My surgeon, Professor Arnie Hill, like, saved my life. And I really put all my trust into them and just did what they told me to do. And Professor Hill said to me, look, this is going to be a year out of your life. And that was even hard for me to understand at the time. I thought maybe they'd just take the cancer out and I'd be on my merry way.
Yeah.
So to go down then the path of like losing my hair and jeepers, like, it was just such a rock bottom time. But I really felt in those days, you know, what is this experience here to teach me? And Trina, I cried every single day and I went through a horrible, horrible time. But I was also willing to see what this experience was here to bring to my life.
Yeah.
And I really had to trust the process because I had no clue why is this happening to me, you know, but I trusted that one day it would become clear. And that really helped me get up and face every day, you know, and get up for my baby and get out for the walks and, you know, pick up a book and get a bit curious about life. And it brought me to where I am today.
Was it a case of then you had to remove stress from your life as well? Because I see all the videos that you post on Instagram and you seem to be out walking the dog all the time or you're going for a run. And I don't know whether I knew that you were into fitness before, or were you?
I wasn't.
You weren't?
I wouldn't have run to the studio for a news bulletin like that, you know, the level of my fitness.
Yeah.
But I suppose, you know, my oncologist said in my recovery, Georgie, you have to exercise. I'll never forget where I was, what I looked at when she said that to me. I looked out a window. Like, I remember every second of that interaction with her. And, you know, I'd always told myself I wasn't the type of person to exercise.
Like, yeah.
You know,
because you're a very slim build. You're a very slim build. And I think people think when you're like that, you're naturally like that. You don't need to exercise. But it's not about your body shape. Sure, it's not.
Absolutely. And I always kind of got away with it. You know, that sort of way. Like, I was always like, no, I'm fine. I'm grand. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't healthy in the lead up to my cancer diagnosis. So when she said, you know, you have to exercise, I was like, oh God. And I thought about my baby and I said, look, I'm going to do it for her because I want to live. So I just started running like really small distances. So like 1 kilometer. And then I started doing the park run when I got my confidence up a little bit. And the great thing about the park run is that you can actually walk it. So no one's judging you. So there's walkers and joggers at it. And then the guys up the front who like lap you, you know. But, you know, it was a really nice community piece and getting out there and kind of interacting with people again after cancer treatment. And I just felt so welcomed at the park run. So then I worked myself up to the VHI Women's Mini Marathon. And then I ran the half marathon in New York last week. But it's baby steps, and it took me 4 years to get to that point and, you know, not giving up on myself and not being too hard on myself either.
The decision then as well to step away from your secure, well, I couldn't really call it a secure job because it's a job in radio, Georgie, but your job, you stepped away from your job to start this podcast. Was that a bit terrifying financially as well? Because you kind of going, you're used to having, you know, I mean, you've been working from a very young age. You're used to having your wage coming in to then go, right, what if this actually doesn't work for me?
Yeah, that was definitely scary, Trina. And, you know, it was a total leap for me. And I was really supported by Jamie, my husband, who was like, look, you have to do what your heart and soul is telling you to do. And really the main reason that I walked away from my job was because I just felt like I was getting stressed again. I was getting, you know, I was working myself to the bone again. And I was like, God, I've been through such a tough time. I can't go back to living like this. Mm-hmm. So I took a leap and, you know, my podcast was growing at that time. So I didn't kind of walk away to nothing. And I just really believed in the message of the Good Glow and what the Good Glow could bring to the world. And I was hearing from people who were saying, you know, your podcast makes me think differently about my life. And that's all I needed to trust in at that time, that, you know, this was a really positive thing. And I was working with real purpose. So I believed in it. And thankfully, you know, my gut was right. And I was able to turn it into a business that, you know, worked for us as a family and, you know, allows me to have more time with Pia and just hopefully just make a little bit of a difference in the world.
Yeah. Who are the standout guests that you've had on that you really think, oh, I'm so glad I had them on?
Oh, I feel like that every single weekend, Trina. I'm sure you feel the same when you speak to people. You're like, you go from one interview to the next and you're like, oh, there's so many amazing people in the world. So like on the Good Glow, it's a mix between like celebrity interviews, but then just interviews with people who you'd be standing next to in the supermarket. I feel like we all have a story to tell. And just by sharing those stories, we can inspire each other. So I've had people like Wim Hof or Mel Robbins, who are like hugely successful international personal development coaches. But then I've had people on who, you know, may have adopted a baby or may have overcome something in their lives, like Sinead Hingston. I don't know if you know her, but she was on her honeymoon and her husband passed away suddenly on her honeymoon when she was 16 weeks pregnant. Mm. And she just spoke about overcoming that and how she got the strength to continue on in life. So every week I have a new favorite. the real answer.
Yeah, well, I'll get you on every week and you tell me every week who the favourite is from that particular day. You said to me there, Georgie, you're very much an open book, and I mean, you've been on The Late Late, you've done all these things that you know, you probably never thought you would do in your lifetime. Surrogacy is one of these things that you've been speaking about as well, because obviously you have your gorgeous, oh, she's just an absolute doll, your gorgeous daughter Pia, but you'd obviously like to add to your family. And I'm assuming the cancer has stopped you from doing that yourself.
Yeah, so I'm on a drug called tamoxifen, which is a drug that I was put on in 2018. And I was prescribed that for 5 years. And when you're on that drug, you know, you can't have a baby. But I could come off that drug to try for a second baby naturally ourselves. But in 2020, during the first COVID lockdown, actually, I just said to Jamie, you know, I'd really want to stay on this drug for as long as possible. And my whole family, I think, were very relieved that I came to that decision. And they had secretly hoped that that was the way I was feeling. And obviously, they would support me if I came off my drugs to try for a baby. But I think my mum especially was just so delighted to hear me say that. And that's when we decided to, you know, look at our other options for having a second baby. And we decided on surrogacy. And after Rosanna Davison, who actually was on my podcast speaking about her journey, I was like, oh God, maybe we could do that. And I suppose that's the power of people speaking out about their stories, is that you can inspire other people in their lives. And Rosanna certainly did that for me. So we started the process with Ukraine back in January 2021. And it took so much longer than we expected. And then unfortunately, after the Russian invasion, you know, that got stopped in its tracks.
So what's next now? What do, you don't know? You don't know what's going to happen?
You know, my heart is still with Ukraine. And obviously with everything that's happened over there, our disappointment certainly took a huge backseat as to what was happening to the people who we've worked with over the last year. And the lady who we, and she had chosen us and we had chosen her to be our surrogate mother. So we hadn't transferred our embryo. We were due to do that on the 21st of February, but we didn't go ahead with the procedure. So look, it's very uncertain what's happening. You know, every day I just wake up and we're praying for peace in Ukraine, and the people we've been working with are our biggest concern at the moment, and their safety. So we just decided, you know what, let's just park this for a while, and we'll see where we get to. But I said about 3 weeks ago to Jamie, I said we were looking into Canada and things like that, and maybe we could move our surrogacy journey to there. But I said, look, this is just too much for us right now. We need to process what's happening, and I think we should maybe pick it up in a few weeks. So we're just taking a little break for the moment, which I think is important for us.
Absolutely. There's no rush. You know, there's absolutely no rush. This takes me to your live show as well. So you've already done a live show. You've done the Good Glow Live at the National Concert Hall. A massive success. And you're back. You're doing it again on the 30th of May. Tell me all about this.
Yeah. So our live show, the Good Glow Live, we're bringing it back to the concert hall. So we did a show there in November and it was amazing. It was so beautiful. And we got so many messages from people afterwards saying, you know, when are you going to do it again? And we weren't going to do another show this side of the summer, but we said, you know what, a date came up and we had such an amazing experience that we were like, let's create an entirely new show with new guests. We're going to have talks, interviews, we've got the Dublin Gospel Choir, we're going to have a bit of fun as well, because, you know, wellness, it doesn't have to be boring. So we're going to hopefully inspire and empower people. And I was saying to the team the other day, you know, I really want people to leave the concert hall feeling like they can take on the world and punch in the air and believing in themselves. So that's the feeling I want people to have leaving. So we are planning the entire show around that.
By the looks of it, the last time now, you had everyone up off their seats and everything, and you just look so happy as well. So it looks like it's going to be amazing. So the National Concert Hall in Dublin on the 30th of May. Where can we get the tickets for that, for the Good Glow?
Yeah, so the tickets are available on nch.ie.
Okay, so that stands for National Concert Hall. You cannot forget that. You're very good, Georgie. It's been lovely catching up. Don't leave it too long the next time.
No, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
So lovely.
We'll talk to you soon. It is Something for the Weekend and Ireland's Classic Hits.